Hello, and welcome to LCWS After Dark. I am one of your hosts, Melissa.
Why did it sound like you forgot your name for a moment? I'm your other host, Eli. I do know my name, actually.
Mostly know my name.
You mostly know your name?
Yeah.
Most of the time. Welcome to LCWS After Dark. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the LCWS cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
Because we realize there are a lot of people in the club that don't quite understand them now. A lot of them are from the first couple of years of LCWS inside jokes. So we thought we would give a little intro. So LCWS lore, who does that cover? We have Mortimer, we have Evil Becca, we have the Hive Mind, we have Longdeer, we have the Ghost, and then we also have a newer one, which is Shoulderman. Yeah. Shoulderman is not, I wouldn't say exactly a cryptid, but it's kind of just like a funny joke.
This is true.
But I guess most of our cryptids are funny jokes. So
exactly.
Starting with Mortimer, would you like to talk about Mortimer?
All right. So I remember when I first started going to LCWS, I heard a lot of things about Mortimer. I also noticed that some of our club members' Discord handles were like Priestess of Mortimer and like.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Cleric of Mortimer. I don't remember any of the other ones, but.
Well, we also now, I don't remember if we did in the past, but we used to be like, we'd have a Mortimer account.
Yeah, we also had a Mortimer account, and basically what that was from was because he liked to mess with people's internet. So whenever somebody suddenly got cut off of the call, we'd add to the Mortimer account because yes. Mortimer got them.
Yeah, I think that came from, so Mortimer is like, I think it came from a meme of some sort where it was Mickey Mouse in a, like,
no, it's actually Mortimer Mouse.
Is it?
He's from, like, the Mickey Mouse.
Oh.
Canon, I guess. But he's a different mouse.
Okay. Okay, noted. Important to know. But Mortimer in the picture that I saw, I don't know. I think he did a murder.
Yeah, I think one of our club members, I think it was Megan, or somebody who's good at Photoshop, took like one of these old style paintings and Photoshopped Mortimer Mouse in the background with a bloody pool cue.
And that was actually our Discord icon, I think, for quite a few years.
Yeah, a little while.
And then we came along and we were like, no, we're changing it. So that's Mortimer, if you'd like to explain more about the story that I wrote with you.
We wrote a story. I think it was like for a horror workshop or something.
I think so.
Like that. And we worked together with
Cassie.
Cassie, who was another club member. She was the VP of finance last year.
Mm-hmm. And the year before that.
Yeah. So Mortimer is a sleep paralysis demon.
Well, in the first story we wrote, yeah.
In this story, he's a sleep paralysis demon. He likes to mess with people's internet. Mm-hmm. But in this story, he's just a sinister presence in the background.
There's also, in another story, so in that story, you're doing homework or you're on your computer and you look over and you see your sister is having a crisis in the bathroom over something. You leave to find something to comfort her with and you come back and she's gone. She's not in there. And your sister comes home and she's absolutely fine. And then a second one is imaginary childhood friend.
Oh, yes. So in the second story that we wrote about Mortimer, Megan and Ujwal had an imaginary friend. Megan and Ujwal, if you remember from our last episode, are our founding members of LCWS. They have an imaginary friend named Mortimer, but he's slowly forgotten. So once they enter university, he begins to cause some technical issues to just remind them, you know, that he's still around. Alternatively, he doesn't really have any power since he's forgotten about. But when you're in the writing club, he has he's brought up, he has power.
It's kind of like Voldemort, where like you're not supposed to say his name because I think it gives him power or something. I don't know. Yes. I don't know Harry Potter.
I also don't know Harry Potter.
I think that's how that works. I think that's it like summons him.
You're not supposed to say his name.
Yeah. So when he comes back, he causes all these issues. So when video calling, so part of this is I have another podcast called In the Margins with Radio Laurier. And I interviewed Megan and Ujjwal, and they were one of the first few people I interviewed. And while I was calling on Discord, Megan's profile started turning green and glitchy and then started flipping upside down and doing all sorts of crazy things. So when video calling, the eyes of the person turn into Mortimer, then the rest of their face turns into that. And in this story, he also goes to Megan's house and bends all of her plants at 90 degrees and starts bending people at 90 degrees.
Yeah, they develop 90 degree spine syndrome. That's what it's called.
Yeah, and then Cassie and Megan are found spelling out, "I have a crush on you," with crumpled paper and like crush pops all around them. So we found that very funny because, you know, the idea was that Ujjwal would show up on the crime scene and Megan would have 90 degree spine syndrome. And I don't know. It just makes me laugh because I think this was one of the first few weeks I just met them. And I was like, yeah, we're going to write about killing them
all. Hi, nice to meet you. Here's a story I wrote about you.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Mortimer. Next, we have Evil Becca. Becca was being silly, and we were like, oh, she's evil and whatever. And then
What it was during it was just an activity night. Oh, okay. So we had just prompts. One of the prompts was the emoji prompt that we had, where you get three random emojis and have to write a story about it. And the next prompt was pick a member of...
the club.
And consensually write a villain origin story about
them. That's what it was.
A lot of people wrote about Becca.
Yeah, I think there was only like two people who didn't, and the other person, I think everyone else wrote about Alex. I don't know what it is about Alex and Becca, but they constantly get stories written about main character syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll read a bit of Becca's origin story and Cassie's evil backstory, which is a sequel to Becca's origin story, after we talk a bit more about the others. So we have also the Hive Mind, which is connected to Becca, which is during the time that Becca and I were co-presidents, we would often, during calls or anytime we met up, we would be saying the same thing at the same time, in the same tone. And again, this is like we hadn't ever met in person before this. So it just became kind of the hive mind, and then other people would join in, and then the entire club just became a hive mind. We were all shared the same brain cell. It was only one brain cell.
Yeah, and from this, we've created writing prompts.
Yes, we have.
So it keeps coming back.
Yeah, I think we have. We don't have any to read today, but we do have some floating around. Then we have long deer. Would you like to explain long deer?
I don't even know how to explain long deer.
It's a deer that's long.
Yeah, how did it become one of our cryptids, though?
I think, I seem to recall, it was something to do with Alex. I think, was Alex running this one? Or no, it was, because I remember us being there. I don't remember how exactly, but we put long deer on there, and we all got so excited. Like, so
was
excited.
Was it like... write about a character, like you have to find like a picture
yes,
of them.
Yes, it was one of those ones where we put on a bunch of pictures and everyone saw long deer and everyone wrote about long deer. We have a lot of stories about long deer. In the one we have here, oh yeah, long deer has an accordion.
I think long deer is actually like a TikTok icon as well.
It says TikTok on the bottom of the image here.
Yeah.
So... long deer.
His name's Terry.
Yeah, his name is Terry.
His name's Terry Dang, because his full name is Terrifying Danger.
And he wants to make a friend, but everyone's afraid of him, even after death. And he's there to collect souls, And, you know, whenever people look at him, he disappears. So he just plays sad music while following them around while they die playing music.
With an accordion.
Mm-hmm. In his story, would you like to explain it?
So in his story, an old woman who's not afraid of death, so she's not overly concerned.
Is our main character.
This is our main character. She thinks that Terry is after her nephew. So she attacks it and smacks it with a broom, of course. But Terry talks to her.
Sorry, do you want me to explain?
The way the sentence is confusing. So Terry and her begin talking and they become friends over the course of a few weeks. She's blind, so she doesn't really care. She also doesn't see him, so she doesn't know that he's just a long deer.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Edith Priyanka.
Yeah. Terry actually came to the house because her nephew is dying and they have like a heart-to-heart about it. And they go on an adventure to save him. Because he doesn't want his friend to be sad. So they go to a dream world, a parallel universe where the cure is made. And they go into the kid's mind. And the reason he's being followed by Terry is because he has a severe mental illness or depression or something. And what they do is they start going through his world, which is all in monochrome. And they talk to him and, you know, they go see what he's been through. They're there and they listen and they help him walk through what happened and how everything will still be with him. He might still be depressed, but there's a way to journey with it. And, you know, it becomes more colorful as they go along. And it turns out...
plot twist that Terry is the mental illness.
The real friend is the mental illness we made all along. The old woman, you know, shares her experiences with her nephew. And Terry, like, it's not always helpful and brings up things that make him uncomfortable. So there can be, you know, it's basically just an allegory or a metaphor for understanding and dealing with mental illnesses, right? Mm-hmm. You got to learn to work with your mental illness. So that's where Terry came from. Different other people. I think you and your group had a different interpretation, though.
Oh, I don't remember it though.
I think you actually made him more sinister.
Yeah, I think he was a villain.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it at all.
I don't. But he does make an appearance in our screenplay. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah.
I think he hits someone over the head. He hits Alex over the head with something. Or maybe he's a friend. I don't remember exactly.
I know he appears, but I don't remember what it was about. But stay tuned and you'll find out in a couple episodes from now when we talk about audio dramas.
Yes, audio dramas and narratives. We're going to talk about that and we're going to read the
audio drama that we created.
The very sane and very sensical.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's not confusing at all.
No. Our last one is me. I'm a cryptid.
Yeah.
This was because I went abroad. I don't know when you're listening to this. So I'm for the 2022-2023 school year, I went abroad to France. And so given that I was so active in the club before, since basically I joined the club, I was joking that, oh, I'm a ghost. I'm going to haunt you guys because of the time difference, 6 hours. I couldn't attend most of the meetings. So I got the ghost role. Yeah, I don't think we have any written stuff for that.
Yeah, they're also the only one in our Discord server with the ghost role.
Not even Becca got the ghost. Okay, would you like to read one of the origin stories? Actually, I feel like you'd be good for Cassie's evil backstory.
Yeah, I can read that one.
Okay, I'll start with Becca's and then we can move to Cassie. I would like it noted on the record that Becca's cover image on the WordPress website is the anonymous mask. So here we go. Becca stood on the new, slick Mississauga high-rise, staring over the city. She placed her hands on her hips, trying and failing to assert dominance over the hundreds of thousands of suburbanites in their minivans, hauling their children away to their 5 separate kids' soccer leagues. Their children were many and sticky-fingered, throwing Cheeto dust and rotten apple cores this way and that, with absolutely no regard for the no-littering bylaws. She would be busy tonight, she thought. But of course, Becca had other plans. She launched herself off the balcony, letting herself float in the air for only a moment before whistling sharply, summoning her minions in great numbers. The orbs! Brown orbs, green orbs, blue orbs, gray, even gold came at her beck, and call, letting her fall gently within their midst. She landed on their soft and moist backs, letting them carry her away to her hideout, where it all began, the Creative Writing Society. Becca hadn't always had a penchant for evil. Sure, she spent her time terrorizing her club members with eldritch erotica and wanton use of forbidden words, but she was a good kid once upon a time. She wrote semi-regularly, gasped when she saw dogs, and had a crisis on her 20th birthday. But when Megan cast her aside, and when she began her writing career and denounced Megan's words, her orbs, Becca knew that something had to be done. That night, after club, Becca ran into the science department. She rummaged through the cabinets, throwing beakers and canisters all over the floor. She didn't care what was in them or that all of them spilled, creating a green sheen over the lab experiments fermenting in the classroom. She just knew she had to do something. So while Becca concocted a plan and a potion to bring Megan back to her senses, the green goo continued to grow. It bubbled and burbled lightly at first, growing to a growl, then a roar. It shuddered and twisted, then finally overflowed from its container. Becca turned when she heard the glass container shatter, sending glass shards all over the floor. She gasped and ducked for cover, and when she had the guts to look back, something was dripping off the desk behind her station. She crept towards the desk. She squinted in the dim light, trying to figure out what it was. Little balls, she thought, about the size of golf balls. But that wasn't it, was it? They were too slippery. And as the moon shone through the classroom windows, she saw them. The orbs. Becca screamed and fell back, hitting her head on the back of a stool, but scrambled to get away. The orbs followed her, bouncing with quiet, wet smacks that thundered in the thousands as she ran down the hall. "Somebody, please! Anybody!" she shrieked, banging on the doors as she ran. "Help me!" But no one was there. And eventually, she had nowhere left to run. The orb surrounded her, pushing her into a corner of the cafeteria. As she pressed herself into the food-stained gunk wall, she thought, "I can't die here. Megan can't win like this." She gathered the last of her strength and swung wildly at the orbs, sending them flying back like ping pong balls across the room. But they cleared for her. As she moved her arms, they moved just out of the way. And then they started to follow her movements. She realized that if she willed them one way, they would obey, tearing down posters of Megan's war on orbs with a vengeance. And that's the end. I want to give a little more context for a couple of things in here, because I realized after reading it that there's, for example, the orbs. Megan hates the word orbs, and so do most of us, I would say. People use it way too often in books, like Melissa. Look at those orbs.
Beautiful emerald orbs.
Oh, yeah. And then we also have the Eldritch Erotica. We actually gained a member from that meeting, which I'm amazed. Not to go too in-depth, but we just know that there's Lovecraftian and Cthulhu
shipping fan fiction,
to put it in the nicest of ways. We actually got Melissa's partner from that one, and I don't know how. I genuinely don't know how. It was his first meeting.
Yeah, and it kept coming back after that.
I don't know. So that was the context I wanted to give, but you can always tell it's me that's writing, because I will describe things in groups of three. Like, they did something, something, and something. They were something, something, and something.
You're right. You do that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you'll notice that you'll also find that you don't, like, hear in the story, there weren't that many descriptions. Like, corner of the cafeteria, there's gunk on the wall, but that's about it. You know now that at the end that there are posters of Megan's war on orbs.
Yep. We weren't aware before.
They're glass containers, and you know you're in the science department, but you don't know where. You know there's a cabinet, but I don't describe the classroom at all.
You don't?
No. I don't like describing things.
Together we make one whole writer.
We do. All right. Would you like to read Cassie's origin story?
The plastic ball spun furiously around Cassie's ears as she tapped away on her computer. "The nerve of these people," she said, composing a very intricate tweet thread on the benefits of increasing social distancing to 2 kilometers between people instead of just 2 meters. Thinking that just because they live in this city that they can just waltz right up to me and say hello, don't they know about germs? About the spit projectiles they're spewing at me every second, disgusting. She hit send, hoping that it would go viral. Maybe if more people saw it, more people would understand why she did it. She felt the way she did. And then she could shut down
social media?
Yeah. And then she could shut down social media for good. No more people, no more roommates. "Yo, dude, you got any Cheerios left?" "Not now, Brad." "Sorry, we're out of milk. Do you know..." "Brad! Do you not see the sign with your infectious eyes? Can you read?" "It says keep 2 kilometers away, Brad." "How do I keep 2 kilometers from you if we share a house, dude? Just, you move out." "But I live here." "Not anymore, Brad. Goodbye, Brad." Brad, the evil, torturous creature that he was, only frowned in confusion and moved back into the kitchen to spread his DNA further.
You like that?
That just sounds dirty. You can cut that part out.
No, we're keeping that. We're keeping that. This is staying in.
No. God only knows what he did in the kitchen. That just makes it worse.
I just want you all to know. This is... I read this years... I think I... Yeah, this was published in 2022, but I think it was made back in 2020. So this is Melissa's first time reading / hearing of it in like 3 years.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all.
God only knows what he did in that kitchen.
Sneezing, wiping his nose, touching the counter.
How dare he?
Cassie shuddered and pulled up another tweet Twitter tab. This would surely get her a hit tweet. It all started 2 years ago when she joined LCWS. It was fine at first. Everyone laughed, hugged, shook hands. You know the deal. But one day, Megan disappeared and Becca took control. Orbs bounced everywhere with meaty, wet snacks on tiled floor, covering everything in a slippery slime that would send you skidding down the hallway. It coated you in a thin film that took days to come off, and even when it did, your skin turned a weird shade of gray. This story's a weird shade of gray. I'm sorry. Cassie begged Becca to stop, begged Megan to give up, give into the orbs, let the madness end, but neither would yield. Megan called upon the aid of her fellow editors and Indigo co-workers to slice the orbs with razor-sharp paperbacks. They chopped and sliced, rewrote and revised, but the orbs were seemingly endless. Becca would sneak into the labs late at night and mix chemicals together, making nauseous fumes that would flood the school and turn more students into orbs. Kiefer, Jen, and Sydney were all taken. Cassie knew what she had to do. To save herself, she constructed a giant plastic hamster ball with the latest in air filtration technology and anti-skid wheels to keep herself from getting infected. She rolled down the hallways and into class with confidence, knowing that she would be safe. But then they got Nat, and that was one straw too far. Cassie glanced over at the backyard, transformed into a containment field for Nat, who bounced and ricocheted off each wall with gusto. One day, she would transform Nat back, but first, it was time to get her revenge. Orbs, editors, who needs those? What the world needs now was someone strong, someone impenetrable, someone who wasn't afraid to do things the hard way. the hard, bulletproof plastic way. And Cassie had just the tweet to prove it. Okay, I know that all of you think you're so smart now that you can see everything, but you don't. You don't even know. You can't even make ROM hacks in English, let alone Spanish or Italian. Have you even tried to ROM hack in Italian? I have. It's hard. The end.
We finally got through it. It was a rough one.
A little bit.
The ROM hacks thing, that's a reference to Cassie was doing, like, making ROM hacks.
Pokemon games?
Yeah, in Italian, I think. In Legend of Zelda.
In Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, so that's why that's in there. I like that you were like, this story is a weird shade of gray. Yeah, well, this story was mostly made because I was at the time living with my family and, you know, during COVID in a very small house on the verge of losing my mind. So it was a good way to get some of my frustrations out.
That's fair.
I put the tweet into the actual Twitter thing so I could make sure that it was the right amount of characters, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, dedication.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that covers all of our cryptids. Do you have anything else to add?
No, other than we also have a RoboBecca.
Who else do we have? I think that covers most of them.
The Dimension Sunderer.
The what?
The Dimension Sunderer.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, she became a, cosmic villain of sorts.
We did have a while where we were writing a lot of villains.
If the title makes more sense now.
Yes, that does make more sense now. We'll have to get comments from Alex. Anything else you have to add?
No, that's everything.
Yeah, I think that's everything. So that's it for episode 2, Scooby-Doo, Who Are You? Come see us next time for Drawing Out Your Inner Shakespeare, which I think Melissa will be a lot chattier for.
Probably. it's going to be about poetry, and I am a poetry nerd.
Yeah, we will have some more story readings. We'll have how to write poetry, what is poetry, and drawing inspiration.
Yeah, I'll have lots of good tips.
Yeah, you could almost do a solo episode. Be prepared. So. Thank you for coming to listen to us again, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.